Hi, Chair. It's Barry here again from Shadow the GM podcast. Just wanted to kind of feedback on talking about running the game you want to run as a GM. And again, 100% understand it. I find myself quite a lot thinking about running games that are rules light, ones that have got simpler systems, ones that are more narrative, because that's what I feel players want to play. When in actual fact, games like GURPS, games like Pathfinder, I actually really enjoy playing and running. I like the crunchiness. I like the, you know, the fact that when we're playing GURPS, it was down to second by second, and there was active defence rules and things. And I think I've said it before, but there's a bit of negativity from some areas about people who don't find that as interesting. And I do find myself kind of caving a little bit and thinking, oh, maybe I'm wrong and they're right, which is really stupid, to be honest. And I'm talking about myself here, that, you know, I like myself even at my age still think that would actually, I should just accept, yeah, but that's them and I like what I like. And, you know, I think we do have to sometimes find the way to run the games we want to run.
Things he won't share with us, the darkness in his brain, the dungeon master's plan, the pleasure and the pain. What's better left unknown, keep calling out to me. I hear him think out loud, to die for me. Only the brave shall come. Page 1.
My name is Che Webster, and this is the Roleplay Rescue Dungeon Master's Diary.
And I think it will sometimes be hard, because you will still find that resistance of the people that, you know, enjoy your games and they find certain systems frustrating. And, you know, I think the fact is that with the age of online gaming, you're a bit more open to use other things, because you will be able to find a bigger base of players than you used to. I think my experience of gaming from small gaming groups is like, if people didn't want to play your system, they didn't want to play your system. And I remember a GM who's there that loved GURPS, and everyone there hated it, and that did colour my opinion of GURPS before nobody wanted to play it. And so I was kind of put off it by that fact, and I took my brother buying it for some reason to actually play it, to realise it wasn't as bad as it's made up. We never told said GM, because he was a bit annoying anyway. That's a different story. but it was it's one of those things that, you know, I think with online gaming you can find your audience. Sometimes there are people out there, if you can get the timings right. For example, I'll play GURPS with you all day long any day, but it's just trying to get my wife to give me time to play, which is the challenge. So they just wanted to put that one out there. Hi, Chair, it's Barry here from Shadow the GM podcast yet again. Just a message about changing platforms. I'm a Roll20 guy originally, and I was kind of anti-switching to Fantasy Grounds. Although, weirdly, I did have a subscription from back in the day before Roll20 ever existed. I've been trying to do online gaming for a long time. Has to be said that with your game, I was kind of forced to take the plunge. And it was kind of one of those things that I resisted, but secretly want to try it out. And actually, I really, really got into it. And I am starting to think about investing more in Fantasy Grounds, because a lot of the integration in there is better than Roll20. I'd say Roll20 is good, given that you can play it for free, etc., and it has quite a lot of accessibility for free. But the integration on, say, the character sheets is a right pain in the bum sometimes. Like you said, some of the map stuff is really awkward. Trying to scale maps is difficult. Even like GTO, which is free, does better. And I actually really quite like the way the dice roll mechanisms work and things. So, and the fact you can integrate for like GURPS sake, character sheets can be imported. And importing stuff's really, really kind of handy from Fantasy Grounds' point of view. I mean, I suspect from your own message that you know, or your own show that you know, that people just are resistant to change. And, you know, people, I don't want to say they're scared from change, but, you know, they want to stay with what they're comfortable with. It's kind of taking people out of their comfort zone sometimes to change it, and it just takes a little bit of progress by progress. And there's always going to be technical issues, but, you know, we have technical issues with Discord, we have it with Hangouts, we have it with every single thing out there. And the thing is, I'm big enough and ugly enough to kind of look past that. I mean, we had issues when I was trying to get in Fantasy Grounds, it crashed about 3 times, I was out of the game for a while, but actually it didn't put me off it, because that happens to me with Roll20, that happens to me with map tools, everything crashes on me at some point. It's my laptop being useless, to be honest, more than anything else. It's not Fantasy Grounds' fault, but actually the stuff that Fantasy Grounds did, I actually really enjoyed and felt it was really useful. So I just wanted to say, on a supportive thing, that, you know, I wouldn't give up on Fantasy Grounds just because you get some resistance. Not saying that you will do, but just wanted to put that one out there.
Kind and wise words there from Barry. Thank you for calling in, man. It's really good. And whilst the quality sometimes on the calls is a little bit ropey, I do appreciate all the words. So please keep calling. Please keep chipping in. And I know that, I know that it's sometimes difficult, isn't it? Like making change and trying new things and all of that. I certainly am struggling a lot in the last several weeks. But yeah, you're right. Let's keep plugging at it. Thanks, Barry. Game on, man. Wednesday. Just spent a very pleasant morning, actually, prepping my Harn campaign. Got the first groups, first adventure starting on Saturday.
And yeah, it's kind of cool. I've kind of come up, I think, with a bit of a setup for a sort of first adventure. I've had a look through all the characters, actually. They've been sort of dotted around for a while. I think one of the players has been very sort of mostly slow in getting that done, but kind of just about there now. You know, I think for one or two players, there's been a bit of a steep learning curve in terms of both being new to GURPS, but I think more than that, actually, is the tech. GURPS character sheet, brilliant piece of free software you can get, but there is a little bit of a learning curve, and it depends a bit on people, doesn't it, on their individual skill with computers. And I think, you know, I don't know, sometimes I think it's very easy for me to sort of forget that not everyone finds, you know, technical tools, you know, something easy to use. I certainly remember that Bob kind of helped me out getting my head around that with an hour or two spent chatting about it one Saturday morning some months ago, and it was a worthwhile hour. So, you know, it's not a problem. It's just one of those things where it takes a few days for people to get things together. So I've got five characters have been created, and I'm really looking forward to playing with them. It's a nice group, and I think I figured out hooks into connecting them to this this setup, really. So the situation that I've set up, I think, will at least appeal to the characters. I'm kind of hoping it'll also appeal to the players, but we've had some discussion around the kind of the nature of the game we want to run. So that's good. And I also discovered a few cool things. I discovered some really useful stuff in my copy of Harnmaster, which, although we're using GURPS, I can nick some of the information and tables and things out of there. So that's really, really handy. You know, notably stuff around time and dates and, you know, all that kind of stuff that fits with the Harnik calendar and the way the world works, which I might as well use. It's all good stuff. And I've been loving poring over my maps and using them as a reference, really, which has been good. And it's been nice to sort of do what I did with my Dawnwood game, where I sort of plotted out the most likely route from A to B and, you know, started to look at what was on that road, which is cool. So, yeah, good morning, really. And I'm pleased. I've got a little bit tired, so gonna have some lunch and chill out. And, yeah, come back to it tomorrow. Game on. Friday evening, and it's been a pretty positive day. I've been largely spending my time prepping for Harn in the last 24, 48 hours. And, yeah, it's been interesting. I one of those things where I could always have started earlier and it would have probably been a bit better plan, but you know, is what it is. Been looking today thinking a lot about how I'm going to prep sort of it going forward, like the process, if you like. And I delved back into quite a few resources, had another look at the Lazy Dungeon Master, had another pingle through Angry GM stuff, thought about a little bit about from the stuff from the Alexandrian, trying to bring that stuff together, coalesce that together, and sort of create a process for myself, really. And yeah, in one sense it's quite cumbersome, but actually when you start working through, you know, it's kind of straightforward. So it's been interesting to sort of get a good way part through that prep process, having spent quite a lot of time putting it together. I think that it's one of those pieces of work where, having worked on how I want to approach the campaign, I now have a process so I can easily replicate that. Been also playing around with John Ford's campaign logger, which is in a beta for a second version now. And that's been interesting as well, sort of logging key ideas and information. I'm also playing around with John Ford's loopy planning process, which is something that, you know, has been bubbling around, you know, in my mind for a long while to try. So, you know, I had a look at that again today as well. And that's been helpful. So, yeah, a whole kind of load of stuff bubbling around. I can't say a lot about it without spoiling the game. But basically, I hope to get the game going tomorrow night. First of the two games at Harn tomorrow night. And, you know, should be fun. Going to see where it takes us. Game on. Saturday night, about 10 to 11. Finished the game. First game in Harn, Webster's Harn. Had a really nice time, really pleasant time. Quite a bit of fun. A slow start, really. I felt like a sort of session 0.5, 0.9. I don't know. It was session one, but it was a little slow starting. Usual kind of thing with new group, new players, various technical issues, as ever. Nothing huge, but it was enough to slow us down for about 30 minutes. And we got going. And it's really interesting because, so essentially I set them on a bit of a quest with a patron, kind of sending them out to do a task, which is all well and good. But in terms of preparation, I kind of wanted to make this comment because by the end of the session, the players had gone into a situation, they were a small village, and there's rumours of banditry and poaching, perhaps even the taking of animals from the village. And the local reeve is looking to the adventurers to perhaps respond, because on their way up, they themselves have come across tracks of unusual movement of humanoids with perhaps even clawed feet. And the players themselves have been talking about, oh, is this Gargoon? Is this the Harnic Orcs? And they're sort of wondering that. But it's really interesting to me as GM, and I hope it's not too much of a spoiler to any players who are listening, but actually all of that stuff arose out of a series of random die rolls done in preparation before the game. And I was reading somewhere on the great social media verse out there, someone earlier in the week was going on about, why do GMs want to roll on weather tables and why do GMs want to roll on random encounter tables? Why not just decide? Well, I'll tell you this. The combination of me rolling on a random weather table and then with that, combining that with random encounter tables, and those random encounter tables turning up, having themselves some subtables. So I turned up some tracks, spore or signs of creatures, and I rolled and I found something that I was able to then describe in the way that I have. The combination of that with what I would never have chosen the weather to be, it's not hugely variable because the weather system I'm using is very good at kind of moving you between like states that are related, but there's been rainfall and the roads have turned muddy, and so the tracks are kind of as they were, and I was able to describe them the way they were. And actually all of that came out, those two or three die rolls led to these descriptive elements that led to something that has actually captured the attention of my players. And then in play, I had not foreseen this at all. But in play, they're having this conversation. Then where it came up in terms of the random encounter roll, because I'd pre-generated the encounters, but I hadn't determined when they were going to turn up. And the players had rolled two random encounters during the session. And where they were in combination with this and where we got to in the session led to the story we got. And I'd just like to say we wouldn't have got that without those random die rolls and that combination and those players reacting the way they did. It's a totally unique situation that arose out of play and surprised even me as the game master. And for me, that's what made the game fun. That and the interaction with the guys who are all good people, it makes it really pleasant. So I'm really grateful to them, and I'm hoping that we're going to continue playing over the months to come. Game on. It's Monday morning, it's the 1st of June, and it's been a weird weekend. Yesterday I had incredibly low energy and very little desire to do very much at all. I think I spent something in the region of, 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon asleep. Deb and I were both exhausted. And I think in no small part that was to do with having spent most of Saturday sort of struggling and wrestling with getting ready for my really low-powered and quite intense and incredibly rewarding game in Harn. And of course, I have another one of those in 2 weeks with a different group. And there's a lot of investment in that particular world and approach to gaming that I'm kind of got to. And yet, yesterday, the only thing I really did hobby-wise is I found myself being drawn to pick up a copy of Savage Worlds. And I wrote a blog post in the evening when I did find some energy after sleeping, just about the tension between those two things. there is an extreme tension in me between very extreme ways of playing and different approaches of playing that I've sort of realised. And I realised quite a few things this morning. I sort of scribbled some notes into my day book because I realised that there is something I've been conflating in my hobby for a long while that actually needs pulling apart. And actually there are three strands, possibly even four, because I have kind of realized that in both of these extremes, there are actually two different strands. Let me try and like put some words to that. So I've realized that the extremities of my hobby are kind of fairly straightforward. On the one hand, and Hahn represents this, I think, there's this desire for other world immersion. And this tends to sort of manifest as pretty lower powered realism, for want of a better word, and fantasy in the longer term as well. It's this desire within me to go and visit a world and to immerse myself within that world with some players. And the pace is slow and the power level is low and it is very much zero to not quite a hero, really. I'm not about heroics. It's about experiencing that world. And the two strands there, the one of them has kind of found its expression so far, and that is sort of through Hahn. But it's also, I mean, the kinds of worlds I'm talking about here, they go across different genres as well. So I'm really into the idea of historical fantasy, for example, in the ancient period. And I'm really interested in slightly harder SF, which I guess Traveller sort of represents for me. I'm also the sort of post-apocalyptic survival fantasies that I have as well, which are about kind of, you know, literally having enough food and water and getting, you know, from A to B alive, that sort of stuff, which I don't think appeals to the vast majority of gamers out there. There is a second strand within that, and I think that is this desire for real full immersion. And I think maybe that is where my solo sort of feelings come from, because there's this desire to go alone into a world and immerse more fully, which is not something I've realized yet, as in brought to reality. I think that solo has two uses for me, and one of them is learning things, trying out games. It's that self-play thing where you go and figure out how a game system works. And as a GM, you try things out. But there is also this thing I've never really done, and I kind of feel drawn towards doing, which is going and playing alone in a fantasy and perhaps discovering that world through play. It's the thing that was triggered in my mind when Greg Stafford wrote in, you know, about 1966, Discovering Glorantha. I think within me there is a world that needs discovering, or possibly several. But I'm not sure I'm brave enough to go there yet. So that's one extreme of my play, this other world immersion that I'm drawn to. But at the other extreme, and I wrote about this in a blog post yesterday, there's this sort of pulpish cinematic hijinks in the ridiculous worlds of high adventure kind of feel. This generally for me is non-fantasy, although there's nothing stopping it being a fantastic world, I suppose, as in a traditional genre fantasy world. But if it was, it would be very high fantasy. But it tends to me for me to be the sort of modern or SF or near future cyberpunky or even post-apocalyptic, but in a more, you know, ridiculous way rather than, and I use the word ridiculous not to sort of belittle this approach, because I really get excited about it, but where things are just not possible. It's the movie stuff. It's that, you know, the sort of not realistic physics, really. We're not worried about the details of whether this is, you know, really simulating the world. What we are interested in is just good old rip-roaring adventure. Now, for me, this is something that has sort of, I've not really separated, I think, and not really realised, but I am drawn to these kinds of worlds. So worlds in my mind here, I ended up writing down about 10 ideas just straight away as soon as I unleashed this definition. So things like, you know, Castle Wolfenstein-esque Nazi super science in World War II, and obviously the Risk game system, which I've been drawn to for many years. I think sort of zombie hunting for fun and profit. It's a real butt-kicking kind of adventure in a zombie post-apocalypse type world. Maybe if it was high fantasy, it would be that sort of Dragon Riders and the stuff that I was excited about when I was 14 reading Dragonlance, you know. High-tech cyberpunk, it's that kind of street punk thing. It's SF with maybe demons and magic mixed in. That's something I really always wanted to do. It's the modern conspiracy horror stuff that I love. The Monster Hunter game, the Alien Abduction games, I think. I think it's the pulp era action adventure stuff, you know, 30s, 40s, maybe even the 50s and 60s, spies and all that kind of stuff. And I think possibly for me, it's even a delve into superhero stuff is something I could even go with. Now, in my mind at the moment, GURPS is developing for me as the game which kind of develops that immersion for me in quite a good way. The realism and the longer term play. Yes, that's definitely delivering that for me. And I think that I prefer lower to middle points games. Although, you know, I know that it can emulate this other stuff we're talking about. I just think that actually, in a lot of ways, these games, one of the big differences in my mind here is the longer term, I talked about with Otherworld immersion games like Khan, and actually quite short term. Now, this is one interesting is I'm not a big fan of one shots, but I kind of developed this term in my head of the short shot. And what I mean is probably a short run adventure or series of adventures that actually is quickly picked up, that you could kind of like put together pretty quickly on the fly without a heck of a lot of, you know, detailed prep. And the game, you need a game engine that can just do that quickly and play quite quickly and at high pace. And of course, the two games that kind of appeal to me on this grounds are, I think Savage Worlds does this, and I'm looking at the Adventure Edition, which is what I was reading yesterday, if I didn't mention that earlier. But also I think the Cypher system from Monte Cook Games also intrigues me in this, and because there are two different itches there. So having just actually talked about pulpish cinematic hijinks, I think there are two sort of directions in my taste. Now, one of them is more to my taste and more to my experience. And I think Savage Worlds appeals on this grounds because it kind of, by default, involves the tabletop miniature integration. And it scratches the tabletop skirmish gamer in me, that itch that I have. And this would suit games that are like high action and probably combat focused and had the more pulpy feel combined with the option for tactical combat that I enjoy so much. I think that's where my butt kicking and that sort of step on up gaming kind of would find its expression, and that's what I'm interested in exploring quite quickly, I think, just to find out if I'm right. But I also think that the Cypher system offers something else, because I'm really drawn in the Cypher system to the character design approach. You are an adjective noun who verbs really appeal to me as a simple approach to characters, and Cypher System doesn't do tabletop sort of miniature stuff by default. It actually does quite theatre of the mind, which I think might well be suited for something that's a little bit more narratively focused for me, perhaps even more thematic, where there'll be perhaps less combat and more investigation and more character interaction and more social interaction. And that would really sort of perhaps be a little bit more genre enforcing in a way. I don't know. I don't quite know what I mean by that term at this point, but yeah, it might suit this sort of investigative games that I like. Perhaps the modern conspiracy stuff, for example, might find a better expression through Cypher, whereas I don't know, Rift certainly will find its expression in Savage Worlds. That's been done. But also I think kind of like, you know, that sort of Wolfenstein Nazi super science raids on the bunker kind of stuff would find expression in Savage Worlds. So these are my thoughts anyway, and I feel like I'm beginning to witter, so I'm just going to leave it there. But today, this is where I found energy. As I go back to work on June the 1st, as in back to kind of finishing the school holiday and discovering whether I'm going to have to return to school from the 15th, these are the thoughts that are bubbling in my hobby. So I thought I would share them with you. Game on. All right, it's Monday night and I couldn't resist. Doug Cole, who's been on this podcast many times to interview with us, and I no doubt will come again. He's got his More Perilous Journeys Kickstarter up for the Fantasy Trip. And if you're in any way a fan of the Fantasy Trip, you've got to go check that out on Kickstarter. He's got five adventures. It's like £20 for five in PDF. And the covers, oh my goodness, the covers, that's what kind of finally did it for me. Same artist doing all of them, and they're absolutely glorious. And I don't normally do this kind of plugging of Kickstarters, you know that, right? But they're lovely, and the adventures look great, and the writers as well, you know, he's got really, really great kind of bunch. You've got Christopher Rice and Ed Tremlett, and they've done like 1, 2, 3 of them. You've got David Pulver doing 2 others, and it's just, I mean, these are real names from the sort of Steve Jackson and I guess the GURPS community, really. So just so pleased to be able to support it, and I think it's finishing on the 13th of June. It's kind of so close to funding, but it would be really great to help Doug over the line. So if you've got any interest in the fantasy trip, please consider going and checking that out on Kickstarter. Game on!